It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
It's a month before official spring, but I'm already beginning to feel the pressure. I go through premature spring fever about this time every year when the light shifts, the days lengthen, and I don't have to start afternoon chores until 5 p.m. Sensing that the seasonal shift is already underway, worried about being able to keep up with the work of the farm, I tell myself, you shouldn't have slacked off in the downtime. It's the same sort of panic that sometimes gets me up at night to check my computer for the due date of legal papers, only to find that what I was sure was tomorrow's deadline is still a month or so away. Distant warning lights are blinking, but my anxieties tell me the freight train is bearing down on me. But we also do live in a new climate reality, one that may justify my concerns. When I first moved to the farm some 24 years ago, it was not unusual to have snow cover the ground well into April. From what I can see from the scant patches of snow in the shade outside, our brief winter has already had its day. By next week, daytime temperatures will near 60. Nighttime lows will barely go below freezing. March, I hear, will come in like a lamb. Sure, we could have a blizzard between now and May, but a prolonged stretch of winter? Very doubtful. Eric and I are looking prescient for having planned this year's winter extending ski trip at a high altitude in New Mexico. Mindful that the sap will soon be rising in dormant trees, I got to work this weekend pruning the peach trees and the Asian pear. The pruned peach branches, their fuzzy fat buds themselves reminders of the blossoms that are soon to come, make excellent sheep snacks. I've also begun trimming the blackberries and gotten some potting soil to start my vegetable seeds in the basement. As if the weather weren't giving me a strong enough signal, the life of the farm is screaming transition. My chickens are clucking spring. As the hours of daylight lengthen, the old girls are producing eggs at a higher clip. They've been joined, as of last week, by the hens that arrived as day-old chicks last August. For the next month, we will have pullet eggs, those small but rich eggs laid at the start of a hen's productive cycle. In the barn, meanwhile, there has been a different sort of transition. My elderly ewe Nilifer's time came last week, much sooner than I expected. She had progressed to being unable to stand for very long before being knocked over by her herd mates. My wonderful vet Jillian, the soul of compassion, came to examine her. The doctor confirmed that even if we tried a boost of intramuscular pain drug injections and ongoing arthritis medication, Nilifer would have a rough time and low quality of life going forward. 16 years is an exceptionally long lifespan for a sheep. Even if she could enjoy being hand-fed a grain treat twice a day, the times in between, isolated in the barn while the herd wandered out to graze, would be a misery for her. A comforted head in my lap, and mercifully quick death was a preferable choice, at least in my view, and we were able to give that to her. Grateful that the ground was not frozen, I dug Nilifer a grave in a copse of trees down the hill on the west side of the pasture. Hand digging a grave is a highly personal and comforting thing to do. Making sure it was the right size and depth for the body to return to the elements in peace felt an act of respect. The couple of hours of solitary digging allowed me to contemplate and appreciate the being I was about to deposit there. And the path back to the world of the living was eased for me by the finality of shoveling the dirt over her body and restoring the sod above. Who says atheists got no religion? By this weekend, I was fully preoccupied again with the living. My visiting friend Paul helped me with tagging the new lambs. I'm watchfully waiting for the remaining pregnant ewes to lamb. Full-uddered Sophie, hanging low and lethargic as demanded by the last stage of pregnancy, promises to be next. Indeed, this morning in the barn she was there alone with her contractions beginning. The irony is not lost on me that many of these adorable lambs that are being produced are being raised principally to be slaughtered for our sustenance. Another lovely couple of weekend guests, friends of Eric, were charmed to be holding the new lambs and watching them play as the older sheep munched their hay. When one asked whether any of those would be slaughtered, I frankly told her that pretty much all the males would meet that fate. Her look of dismay made me regret having brought our company to the barn just a few hours before our promised farm-raised lamb dinner. But we talked it through. How sheep would not have been created by human intervention and would not be raised were it not for the uses, including food, that we make of them. How the choice we face is essentially between giving them a brief but comfortable and fulfilling life, or no life at all. My gospel must have been somewhat effective. Our guests seemed to heartily enjoy my oven-grilled butterfly leg of lamb with lemon salsa verde. After winter comes spring. After death, there's life.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.